time for Sunday school. There we go. So this morning we are we're not in Matthew. Sorry, I quit. I'm out. We're not in Matthew. Well, it's yeah. Had a revelation. Just like there was a light in the room last night. It's just like, okay, we got to do something else. Since it's Thanksgiving, do some things on gratitude this morning. This morning you'll learn how to be grateful. So some of the things we'll look at, or the theme this morning in Sunday school, are the benefits of gratitude, particularly gratitude towards God. Because you'll see not only the benefits, there's some benefits to it. You and I are made to be, Christians in particular, made to be grateful people. And I think every human being is made to be grateful. You're wired to be grateful. And when you're ungrateful, the wiring kind of gets fouled up, or there's some disconnect there. So in the Bible, though, we're going to look at three of them. Three of the benefits of gratitude. And we'll look at the positive side. And then on some of these, you'll see the negative side, or the implications of ingrates and just being ungrateful. But the first place we're going to start is Philippians chapter 4. Benefits of gratitude. There are benefits to being grateful. Philippians chapter 4. And I'll give you the outline so you'll know where we're going with this. So the first benefit is there's peace that comes with gratitude. There's a mental, emotional peace that comes with gratitude. You'll see throughout the Bible, I'll just show you a couple of them, but peace is often associated with thanksgiving. And you could recognize that, because someone who's ungrateful generally is just pretty bitter about a lot of things. So peace is often associated with thanksgiving, mental, emotional peace. The second thing is there's moral reinforcement. It's a moral element of a human being to be grateful. There's morality in it, which I'll explain. And then the third benefit is it's the right spirit. It maintains the right spirit. So peace, morality, the right spirit, those things are benefits. But Philippians chapter 4, we'll read the verse, we'll pray, and then we will get started here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing." Not just full of care. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I like that. Verse 7, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let's pray, and we'll talk about the benefits of gratitude. Father, I pray this morning that you would help us. Help us get out of this study, what we need to get out of it. It is sort of a topical lesson. I pray that you would remind us of things that we could be grateful for, particularly in Jesus Christ and what you've given us, these words, the truth, salvation, eternal life, righteousness, justification, peace that you offer. But I pray that you would instruct us, you'd encourage us, you'd help us. We desperately need your help. And I pray for the teachers in the back that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, just that Jesus Christ would be magnified today. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the verse says, the two verses, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That seems to all through the Bible go hand in hand, that if someone's praying, one of the things they're doing is they're giving thanks. That's part of praying. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So just a note here on this. If someone's making a request to God, that means they probably need something or they want something. And if you need something or want something, that doesn't mean you can't be thankful for the things that have already been answered or the requests that have already been answered. I think oftentimes we make requests and we forget about the things that have already been answered or just kind of, I don't know. I don't know if you keep a prayer journal or not. It's a good idea. If you write down your prayers and write down when they get answered and things like that. But he associates in verse 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So peace, mental peace, emotional peace, however all that's connected, but peace in general, the peace of God, is associated with gratitude towards God. It's put together. You say, well, there's other things involved. There's prayer and supplication. All those things kind of go together, and I'll show you in the Old Testament a very specific tie to peace in Leviticus, because there's an offering here, and we'll go back over there. But look over here in Leviticus. We'll look at it now. Leviticus chapter 7. Peace of God, emotional peace, mental peace, and gratitude. You know, it would be a pretty miserable life to think that God had never done anything for you, or that nobody ever helps you in any way. You kind of think like you're alone in the world or whatever. I don't know, we don't have sports anymore. You don't even pay attention to sports anymore. But these athletes that talk about, you know, that they make millions of dollars and they talk about how nobody ever helped them in any way and they just sort of pulled themselves up by their bootstraps or whatever you want to say. And, you know, they did it all on their own and they worked so hard. And I listened to a couple of these guys and I'm like, you were scouted as an athlete since you were in fifth grade. I mean, people wanted you on their team because of your genetics for years. And they tried to pave the way to get you on their team. It's not that you lived in the world where you weren't handed everything. You were literally, your way has been paved because of the way you were born, because of your athletic ability, because of how high you can jump and how fast you can run. And yeah, there's work involved in athletics. There's work involved in everything. Everybody has to work. They seem to think that they're the only ones that work hard or something like that. But that whole mentality of just nobody's ever given me anything, I've done everything on my own. You haven't done everything on your own. Your way was paved from the sixth grade. So anyhow, but that mentality, that life must be really unsettling. To literally think nobody's ever helped you in any way, and you're the star, and you've done everything, and you've accomplished this whole thing. Anyhow, I mean, it probably make you a little bit angry towards people and cynical about people. But in the Bible, gratitude, thanksgiving, these things are associated with a peaceful life. Leviticus chapter 7, look in verse 11. Here's an offering. A peace offering. And notice how he puts these two things together. The same way he put them together in Philippians. Leviticus 7:11. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving. There you go. If you offer it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. So donuts. So they're going to offer peace offerings of donuts and besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. I show you that verse just to show you once again, in Old Testament, New Testament, peace and thanksgiving go hand in hand. Peace, the peace of God and gratitude. So here's someone who offers this, and this is not, I'll show you another verse in Leviticus. This is not an obligation anyone has to perform here. Look over in Leviticus chapter 22. Just to show you, it's a willing thing. Someone does it willingly. Leviticus 22 and verse 29. Peace and gratitude. These things go hand in hand. Leviticus 22:29. And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. On the same day it shall be eaten up, ye shall leave none of it until the morrow. I am the Lord. So there's the thanksgiving. It's not an obligation, but generally people who offer thanksgiving are just more, they've got more peace about them. And he specifically puts that in with the offering. He says, this is a peace offering. It's a thanksgiving. Part of the peace offering is a thanksgiving. And it's something people offer at their own will. It's something people can do or not do. And you'll just find that people who are more grateful are just happier people. And so there's a couple of times. You got Old Testament. You got some New Testament. Look over in Psalm 105. Here's the middle of the Bible. One more time, and then I'll give you a little medical study here that was kind of interesting. Psalms 105, verse 1. Psalm 105. Says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." There it is. "Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name." And then watch this. How does it affect the heart? How does all this affect the heart? "Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." There you go. So that's a heart matter. That thing, it gives peace. It gives mental peace, emotional peace. He says, "Let the heart of them rejoice." Here's a study that was done, a couple of psychologists, one at University of California, one at University of Miami, and they did particular research on gratitude and how it affected people's mental state and how it affected people's health, just how it affected people in general. So here was the study. In one study, so they asked all participants to write a few sentences each week focusing on particular topics. One group wrote about things they were grateful for that had occurred during the week. So at the end of the week, they just thought of all the good things that had happened during the week, and they wrote down some things that they were grateful for. A second group wrote about daily irritations or things that had displeased them. And the third wrote about events that had affected them with no emphasis on them being positive or negative. So just based on that information, which group do you think was the happiest after 10 weeks of doing this? Right. Yeah, not the second one. So after 10 weeks, it says after 10 weeks, those who wrote about gratitude were more optimistic, felt better about their lives. Surprisingly, they also exercised more. They had fewer visits to physicians than those who focused on sources of aggravation. That's interesting. And this isn't like saved people. This is just a study that they just observed how people respond to thinking about the good things in life versus thinking about all the negative and all the fear and all the things to be irritated about. So peace, it's in the Bible, it's been studied. There's a study to you can look at there. So peace, mental emotional peace, is a benefit of being grateful. Here's the second one. This one's maybe a little more complicated, but I think you'll understand fully when we get to the verse. But one of the benefits of gratitude is moral reinforcement, or morality in general. What that means is, and this is another little interesting study here that was written by the American Psychological Association back in 2001. But they described gratitude as this. It has a moral barometer function, which means when a person recognizes that someone's done them good, they recognize they're the beneficiaries of someone's moral benevolence, like someone chose to do good to you. But when people don't recognize good things, they're kind of oblivious to people, the benevolence of other people in general. So it has this moral component of you're able to recognize that there are good things that have happened to you in life. There are good things that the Lord, I mean, it doesn't say the Lord here, but when you apply it to the Lord, there are good things that the Lord's done for you. There are good things that other people have done for you. And someone who can't recognize that there are good things that have been done for them, they aren't recognizing any moral value in anybody. So I'll show you a verse after I explain some of this stuff. So the first thing he says is there's a moral barometer function. Second thing he says is there's a moral motive, which means it motivates, if you're grateful, it motivates other people to be grateful. Particularly if you're grateful to someone, they feel like, hey, I should be grateful back to them. So it has a motivational factor. There's a motivational factor to it. And then the third thing they said was that there's a moral reinforcer function is the word they used. But it encourages people who are the recipients, or it encourages people to behave in a good way just because of just the gratitude. They feel morally, I don't know if it's obligated, but there's just, in all of these three things, there's a moral component to gratitude. It recognizes that you're the beneficiary of some good things. It recognizes you're not the victim. The alternative would be I'm the victim of everything and everybody's after me. And I'm just living in this thing and just keep having all these bad things happen or whatever. It's just not recognizing good things that have happened. And so here's what it says in Romans. This is an interesting correlation to this. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. So there's a moral component to being grateful. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Watch how someone who is ungrateful morally decline in their life. Watch this. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Now that whole downhill slide started up there in verse 21, that when they knew God and glorified God and they weren't thankful. And so as a consequence of not recognizing the beneficiary of all the good things God had done, the Bible says their foolish heart was darkened. They became vain in their imaginations. And you know what? He's just describing the moral decline of a society, a people. Now he's describing Israel particularly, what happened with Israel particularly, but it goes along with the fact that there's a moral component to being grateful, and when you remove gratitude from people, or people don't recognize that they're beneficiaries of what God's done for them, what happens is there's just a moral decline. They become, like he says, vain in their imaginations, foolish heart is darkened. And then he says, here's the, I don't know if it's the worst part of this, but as they decline morally, they have higher self-esteem as they decline morally, professing themselves to be wise. So as they're traveling down this moral slope of degradation, they think of themselves as being better and better people. It's a terrible trap. So as the moral degradation sets in, it's coupled with high self-esteem, and you know, we just think more of ourselves, and all the while we're living in filth and continue to live in filth, and anyone who says otherwise is just sort of a bigot or something like that. Yeah, a racist that's the new one. And you pick the term, or just some sort of bad person. But you get the idea. So here's the point in Romans chapter 1. This is the negative side of the fact that gratitude and being grateful to God, there's a moral component to that. And if someone's not going to be grateful and recognize the things God's given them, what happens is gets clouded with other things and imagine vain things, and the heart just digresses into filth. Like the Lord says, he says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So they just, as they spiral downhill, they just think more and more of themselves. It's just, I have a higher esteem of myself as I'm living in more and more filth. I just have a higher esteem of myself. So that's the opposite of this. The good side of it is someone who's grateful, like that study I just cited before this, they understand morality. They understand that they're the beneficiaries of some things. They recognize that they're not victims of everything. They recognize people are, and particularly God has been good to you. I would think Christians ought to recognize that. I mean, God's been good to you, even in bad things. I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Somebody mentioned it. Maybe, I think it was you, Robert. But sometimes even the bad stuff that happens in life, there's so many good things that come out of those bad things. There's so many benefits to it. I've used the example before, and I'll just briefly go over it again. I remember when you guys, a lot of you have had the experience of burying children, and that's a horrible experience. And a lot of you have had multiple experiences with death, and just things like that. But I remember when we buried one of our children, that was something it's just, you ask why, you get mad and all those kinds of things, and you wonder what happened and how did this happen and all that kind of thing. And then you start to think about, you know, as bad as this is, what are the positives that come out of this? Well, there's a few. Number one, the child that's buried, when we buried Sarah, she didn't experience any pain in this life. You know where she is. You know you'll see her again. And so I got to thinking about some of these things, and it's like, you know, it's tough to stand by a grave of a child, but there, as tough as that is, there are some blessings that come with it. In Christ, there are some blessings that come with it. Outside of Jesus Christ, there's just no blessings with it, but in Christ, there's blessings with it. So what I'm saying is, as dark as things get, like Paul said it in 1 Thessalonians, he said, in everything, give thanks. That'll help you mentally be stable. That'll help you morally be stable. And here's one more. Help you maintain the right spirit. Last one. I tell you what, before we get to that last one, let me show you one more verse that deals with this morality. Look in Psalm 100. Psalms 100. Psalms 100 and verse. If you noticed in Romans that when this group of people that's being referenced wasn't grateful and didn't give God glory, the Lord sort of retreated back and kind of let people do what they were just going to do. He stopped being as involved, and he says he kind of just gave them up to whatever they were going to do. The opposite of that is if ingratitude is how God is repelled, I don't know how else to say that, but gratitude is how God is invited into the thing. Here, look at this verse. This is neat. Psalm 100, verse 1. Yeah, you can't pick one here. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And some of y'all do that during singing. It's great. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Here it is. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's a great picture. For the Lord is good. That's true. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. What a great picture of just a group of people entering into the king's courts, just singing and shouting praises to God. What a great picture. And I mean, it's as true as Romans 1 is true. Ingratitude, people who ignore the benefits that God's given them, the Lord just sort of retreats and lets them to themselves. Psalm 100, gratitude, on the other hand, invites the Lord's presence, and it puts a person into their presence. I mean, the Lord said, come into my presence with thanksgiving. Enter into it. I mean, If we were to, and maybe we should, maybe it would be a good thing to do, but just start to list off the things y'all are grateful for. I mean, we wouldn't have time to do that right now. But I guarantee you there would be tears in this Sunday school class. And I mean, I'm thinking about stuff right now. We wouldn't get through it. But you know what? The Lord said, he said, as I inhabit the praises of my people. That's an invitation to the Lord to get involved. You know, Paul said it this way over in Ephesians. He says, be filled with the Spirit of God. And in one of those things about being filled with the Spirit of God, he says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and all that stuff, he says, giving thanks unto God. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he's praying and he's thanking God for how good he's been. And you know what happens in that temple? The Lord fills that house. He fills it so much, the priests have to get out of it. I mean, there's no room for them. They just got to get out of it. But the Lord fills that house. And it is so true. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And giving thanks, that invites the presence of God. So being an ingrate repels the presence of God. But being thankful, boy, that invites the presence of God. I wish we had time to just, and we will someday in eternity. But I mean, if we started listing all the good things about the Lord and your lives particularly, we'd be here all week. And it'd be great, and we'd all be crying, and we'd all be happy, and we'd all be joyful, and we'd all enjoy our Christian lives. We'd all enjoy fellowship with each other, and we'd all enjoy fellowship with God. It's an incredible benefit to be grateful. And then lastly is this, it maintains the right spirit. You get the right spirit involved in this. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. The benefits of gratitude are peace, morality, the right spirit. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So there's some bad spirits there. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So the alternative set forth there is either somebody who is given over to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they've made their diet into a religion, versus someone who is just happy to have food on the table, happy to be able to have running water or water at all, or happy to just be able to have a diet. And so the Lord says, I have given you all these things. He'll say it in other places. I've given you all these things freely to enjoy. This is what you see in this life is everything God created to be enjoyed, just with sin now put into it. One day the sin will be taken out of it, and you'll be able to enjoy fruits and vegetables and gardens and fish and whatever else. I mean, he gave you all things to enjoy. So there are two things set apart here. There's a spirit that is seductive, that is deals with diets and forbidding to marry and all these things, abstaining from meats and basically making a religion out of a diet, versus somebody who is just thankful for their food. And so the thankfulness is the right spirit versus the other thing, which is the wrong spirit. So he says, if you can give gratitude, thanks for it, it sanctifies, it defends against these seductive spirits, because that's the right attitude to have. And then look over in Ephesians, one more verse here. Thankfulness is the open hand that God can fill. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18. This is kind of what we quoted a while ago. Ephesians 5:18. Says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So don't be filled with these spirits, be filled with this Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So verse 18 says, don't be drunk with wine, don't be filled with that spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now here's how you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, giving thanks in all kinds of forms here, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the definition of being full of the Holy Spirit. Gratitude, thanksgiving. So it maintains the right spirit. So there's three benefits. I know there's a lot more, but there's three benefits there in the Bible about having a grateful attitude and outlook. There's mental and emotional peace that comes with that. You got a right assessment of life, a right assessment of God. Moral reinforcement. Your gratitude can be contagious. I mean, it makes other people want to be grateful too, and it makes other people want to keep doing the things that made you grateful. I mean, if this makes someone happy, if this makes them give thanks, it reinforces the behavior. There's moral reinforcement to it. And as you saw, the opposite of that in Romans chapter 1. And then it maintains the right spirit. Ephesians 5 says, this is the filling of the Spirit of God. It's gratitude. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's a few things. Here's a few things that you can be thankful, that I'm thankful for as a child of God. I am thankful for eternal life that's free. There's no way to earn that. You can. There's nothing you could do to earn that. I'm thankful for the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Thankful for a good family. Thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for. she's yeah. Make sure we get this on camera here. So. I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for kids that help in the ministry. I'm thankful for my in-laws who have moved down here. That's. I knew you would say something about that. And I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful to come to a church and 10 o'clock Sunday morning and have all of y'all smiling faces and sometimes angry faces or whatever. Yeah, it's better than talking to a camera. So I'm thankful for y'all. I'm thankful for a call to the ministry. And I mean, this is not the life I would have chosen, but now having lived this life, this is the life I would have chosen. I love being a pastor, and I love y'all, and I love seeing y'all. And so those are some of the things I'm thankful for. I'll tell you what, we got a little time. Let's do this. Oh yeah, yeah. Get the Kleenex out. I'll let you guys. Is there anything that y'all would like to go ahead, Shirley? Amen. 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 Shirley said she's thankful for her pastor and her church family. Amen. Anybody else? Health. Thankful for health. Salvation. Amen. Your puppy. Yeah. Amen. 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 Ralph said, thankful for God leaving his word. Amen. That is such a, since you guys both said it, and I think Laura said it too, but having the Bible, I mean, I try to imagine life without the words of God, or just not believing the words of God. Who in the world would you believe? Like, where would you get information? Where would you find it? Yeah, do what? Google. Yeah, Google. Google, how do I get to heaven? Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 Anybody else?
I've been reading Fox's Book of
Martyrs. Oh yeah. Thankful for. Yeah. Angela said she's been reading Fox's Book of Martyrs and is reminded she's grateful for the liberty we still have here. I mean, yeah. Go ahead, Josh. Amen. 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 Yep. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. Jeff's nephew, his other nephew, who passed away several years ago, we didn't know about his salvation, and Jeff had talked a lot about his salvation, and he never professed Jesus to us. But he died on a job in someone's home, and she wrote a letter afterward and said she prayed with him as a Christian as he was dying.
Amen.
So you just pray for salvation for folks like Jeremy, that we don't know what's going to happen with them. But then you praise God because you know He shows you, you know, what He's done for people. When there's a doubt in our minds, He's there to assure us things are okay.
Amen. In Christ, there's joy in Christ. Can't say there's joy outside of Christ, so just, yes, ma'am. Yeah. Amen. 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 Shirley, you said you were thankful for the ministry. I would say there's there's probably a lot of people that would say they're thankful for your ministry. So, yep, yep, absolutely. Yeah, group hug, here we go. Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Go ahead, Jess. Amen. Amen. That's good. Isn't it better to dwell on the good things than watch the news? So yeah, it has that effect. It just has that good effect. Being grateful. It's got its benefits. It's definitely got its benefits. And I imagine we could do this all day. And we could just keep going through things all day. But let's wrap it up. Let's pray. And I thank y'all for sharing. That means a lot to everyone else, that people are willing to say thank you publicly about what Jesus Christ has done in their lives and all that. But let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, I pray it's been helpful this morning. Just sharing the gratitude is as instructive or more instructive than sometimes the teaching about gratitude. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be grateful people. I know that's your will. That's what you said in 1 Thessalonians. This is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus, that you would be grateful people. And Lord, I pray that we would be. And I pray we'd be publicly grateful people, not just in these walls here, but outside these walls. And I thank you for what you've done in each of these souls' lives here. And first and foremost, eternal life, righteousness, and sacrifice, and just things we can't accomplish. We're just sinners. We can't accomplish anything and save ourselves in any remote way, Lord. But you chose to save sinners, and I'm thankful, and I know folks here are thankful. And thank you so much for a Bible. Thank you for a good church. Thank you for a good congregation. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.